Sorry, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Sorry, this episode, you can just go fuck yourself. That's just it.
Fuck yourself, Nebraska.
Yeah, you know.
There's the show's title this week.
Yeah, yeah. Nebraska, go fuck yourself. That's exactly what I'm going to call it. I'm Don Hall.
And I'm David Himmel.
And this is the Literate ApeCast.
Uses bad words. If you don't like bad words, maybe you shouldn't listen to it.
All right, you and I've had a long-standing disagreement, and so I want to dive into this.
Let's settle it once and for all.
Yeah, settle it once and for all. We'll never talk about it again. So yeah. No, that's not going to happen. You know that better. You know way better than that. But one of the things that, I think it's not just the episodes we had of the ApeCast,
400 something?
It's 350. Today is 350.
307 of those have been the same conversation.
It's the same goddamn conversation, unless it's about us getting drunk or having sex in weird places. And that is fine. But it's been a back and forth. And it's not just you that I disagree with. It's just that I feel, and I'm not making any accusation, it's just I feel like you have drunk the very simple mimetic Kool-Aid of a specific societal paradigm, let's put it that way. And one of the things that, because you like to use, once in a while you send me a thing, is, oh, here's a problem with policing in America.
Yeah.
Some police officers were fucking horrifying assholes.
Yeah.
And then you always like to say, systemic. And so the question that I want to ask, here's what I want to ask. What makes a problem systemic? And if it is, in fact, a flaw in the entire system, the fuck do you do about it? Because I put this in my I Believes last week. Is like, if a Twinkie factory, it's a factory that makes Twinkies.
A Twinkie
factory. And they generate fucking millions of fucking Twinkies. And less than 1% of the time, it churns out some fucked up Twinkies.
Okay.
Like the Twinkies don't work. Would you say that that is a systemic problem or simply user error or just like an unavoidable thing because it's less than 1% of the time you get some shitty Twinkies? Okay. So what I will say, and then I'm going to shut up for a second, is that when you talk about systemic racism, and we don't have that conversation very often, but when you talk about that, you have to look at what actual racism happens and then balance it from the plurality of things that aren't that.
Yeah.
When it comes to systemic police abuse, you got to look at how many, you know, the bad apple. And I don't like that argument, the bad apple. But really, when you look at the stats, when you look at the numbers over the last 5 years, in fact, in terms of reported police abuse, and you know, you can go ahead and make up, oh yeah, a lot of people don't report it. That's a no-brainer. That doesn't work. You know, that's not solid. But you look at it, it's almost always 1% or less. 1% or less of the time. Do you have these things? Systemic misogyny. I don't know. You know, it's like, are those things, if you look at the numbers, you know, like the concept that women have it way worse than men, if you look at the fucking numbers, it does not bear out. Women graduate college more now. Men commit suicide more. I mean, I'm just not seeing that it's a flaw in the system. I think it's an argument that was made 30 years ago, and we just haven't updated it. So,
yeah.
Tell me your thoughts.
All right. Let's talk about the Twinkie factory first.
All right, Twinkie factory.
If the Twinkie factory is churning out 1% of their Twinkies get fucked up, like they get, there's no cream.
Yeah,
there's no cream.
No cream. No cream, yeah.
I would say that that is a problem with their system. Therefore, it's systemic because they have a system of Twinkies are baked, they go down the assembly line, it gets pumped with the cream,
juice,
it gets wrapped, boxed, packaged. There you go. That's the system. On occasion, 1% of the time, the cream filler doesn't do its job. The Twinkie Fat hostess needs to fix that. Or they go, well, this is just a thing. We're just going to chalk it up as a loss. We don't package those. We sell them maybe separately. Like, these are the bad Twinkies, mm-hmm. and we sell the cream-free Twinkies. Like, it's just cake. Okay, so they would have to do something to fix that, but they want all of their Twinkies to have cream in them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to look at their machines or whatever their process is. They're going to look at their system, and they're going to try and fix it.
But what if they can't? See, here's what I'll say.
They're going to make an effort to fix
that
it.
That is a utopian view of how machines work.
But this is why the Twinkie
There's
factory.
There's no machine in the world that works perfectly 100% of the time. There's but no you, machine, and there is work, no system that works 100% perfectly every time.
But you make the effort to fix the machine. And I don't think that the Twinkie factory is the right analogy for the police.
I'm known for my imperfect analogies.
So I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Imperfections happen.
Yeah.
Mistakes happen. There is human error. There is technology error.
Yeah.
Fine. The reason that I think that the policing in the United States is a systemic problem is because, and like we'll just put it out there, it's not all cops.
It's not even... It's not even a significant minority of cops.
The thing is, the reason I think it's systemic is because a couple of things. One, when you have these issues, I sent you that story that you mentioned a minute ago.
Yeah.
That was about the New York Police Department.
And you read the headline, and I dug into it to find out exactly. And then I went down a rabbit hole and said, all right, so how many of these cases that, because it was really all about traffic stops, abusive traffic stops. Many of these, because I agree with you. Is it bad that, the New York police are going to ignore hundreds of reported abuse?
Yeah, so what happened is that there were these complaints made about shitty traffic stops.
Yeah.
Police were assholes, people filed complaints, and the New York Police Department was going to investigate them. Like, they came up to their investigative whatever.
Yeah, well, it's a whole process.
Affairs and takes, or whatever the hell it is.
And most of them are 2 years old anyway. It's been a lot.
What they did is they went, now we're just not going to investigate these. And they
that
just threw
actually
them away.
Not what they did. That
yes,
is
it
not,
is.
No, that
what
is what the
do?
Headline said.
What did they do?
And the thing is, it wasn't even the police. You didn't read the article.
I read the article.
Or you read the article with
a couple days ago.
I just read it. And basically what happened was they have a backlog where they have a citizen review board. It's an oversight review board. And they go through all of the abuse allegations. Mm-hmm. And they determine in that which ones seem credible and investigate them. And then they put them toward the board, toward the New York boards for some sort of oversight or, you know, whatever. You know, there's like, we think, it's not like there's definitive proofs, because almost all of these abuse things are he said thing.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, are we found credible evidence? We think this is something you should look at. Well, out of, and this has been a 6-year process, out of all of the thousands of reported things, basically these, I think it was like, I want to say it was less than 120. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but out of like, you know, so let's just say 120, 120 cases over 6 years, they just don't have the personnel. And they went, you know what?
In I terms think of that that's it, a systemic
in,
problem.
Well,
you need
in
to have
terms
the, number,
of a
the right number of personnel and staff to manage.
In terms of a statute of limitations, if you have a cop that has been reported of being, you know, whatever, didn't hurt anybody, because none of these were like punishable by, none of them were felony crimes. They were, I feel like, and I did, I looked into it. I feel like he stopped me because I'm black, or I feel like he was abusive because I'm a woman. I mean, there was a lot. It wasn't like anybody got thrown up against a thing or roughed up. Those aren't where those, that's not what those cases were.
Right.
And pretty much they did look at the cases, and of the 120 cases, they looked at the officer and they said, this was reported 4 years ago. Has anything else been reported against this officer? No. All right. So we're just going to dismiss it. So that's what they did.
Okay.
That was how it worked out. And then I looked at how many in New York State traffic stops, reported traffic stops, occurred, in that time period. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and, just to be generous, I only, even though most of these allegations came from like between 4 and 6 years ago, I looked at just last year, 1.2 million traffic stops in New York over that, just 1 year. Mm-hmm. So let's just say 120 of 1.2 million is less. It's not even half of 1%. It's 0.05%. So while I understand, yeah, it's a problem. People are going to, you know, people need to be heard, that voices need to be heard. I do not think that is a systemic problem. It's not a problem in the system.
The problem is with the traffic stops.
It is a problem in personnel.
The problem is,
and it's a problem in money.
Yes. And I think that a big part of the problem with policing is that they are oftentimes underfunded.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're overfunded and mm-hmm. they use the money to, you know, militarize themselves.
Well,
and
that
I
is
think that's the right use
problem.
Of money.
I personally have a problem with that, but I still don't think that's systemic.
But I think that's
individual error. I think that's human error.
It's a problem with the, sometimes the, maybe it's not a systemic, in some instances, it's not a systemic problem with all policing in America. It's a problem with that particular police department.
Yeah.
And what you have is when there are complaints that come, like abuse, like some serious shit. Like Derek Chauvin. That's, you know,
in prison right
case.
Now.
Yeah. Which I was very happy with that result and shocked. It was pretty obvious, but like, the police look out for each other. And there's that blue line and the cone of silence and all that other whatever. They look out for each other.
Don't ignore. The police look out for each other. The criminals look out for each other, too.
I mean, there's a...
So let's not just paint it one side of it. Everybody's looking out for each other.
We could talk about the systemic problem of crime. I mean,
okay,
yeah.
The thing, I guess this is where... Because I'm not disagreeing that it is a problem. I definitely agree that that's a problem.
And I think that...
But my question is, what does systemic mean to you? Because right now, I think...
A problem within the system. And if you have...
So
you have the right...
A problem within the system means... that it is a consistent problem and that it is a significant problem, not just, I mean, if I get a pimple on my ass once every month, or well, that's kind of extreme, but you know, if I get a pimple on my ass once a month, is that a systemic problem or is that a pimple I got on my fucking ass?
That's a pimple you got on your ass.
And I'm saying when the term systemic isn't even about societal institutional
But
things.
You're not the only
systemic
person
comes from a health perspective.
On their ass. Like, there is, you know, you could have a cop in Minnesota or a cop in Chicago or a cop in New York or L.A. or Nebraska or, and I realized that I went from city to state.
Yeah, whatever. I get you.
Are there any towns in Nebraska? It's just a state.
No, it's just a great big, it's like a giant
There's
empty
no cities
car
in
lot.
Nebraska.
Yeah, it's like empty car lot with a gas station.
Yeah.
That's all Nebraska is.
But it's all, you can drop the bad cops in anywhere and it's kind of the same shit. You know, like their fear for their lives and how quickly they overreact. And I know it's not every single cop, but it's a problem with
the kind of people that police are and the way that you're making this huge blanket statement. You try to pass it by me, but the fact is, it's not all cops. It's not that it's not all cops. It is that it's less than 1% of cops.
But you have to do something about it when it keeps coming up. You have people that you have charged or that you've given them weapons, you've given them training.
I agree.
It is a problem. Need to
it
be
is
better
a problem
than
in
every
system.
Single one of us.
It is not a problem with the
I
system.
I think it is because
it is a problem.
Cops
it is a
need
problem.
To be better.
It's a
they need to be
problem.
Calmer than all of us. They need to be smarter than all of us.
Well, you know what? And no one should lie, and women should never cheat. But guess what? We don't live in a utopia, and this is what my biggest problem with the whole concept of systemic of anything is that when people throw out systemic, what they mean is, there is an imperfection somewhere, no matter how small.
All right, let me ask you this.
And the thing about it is, that is an erroneous use, in my opinion, of the word systemic. Because systemic means the whole system is fucked up. That's what systemic sounds like. I don't know if that's what people mean. But when most people say it's a systemic problem, we have systemic racism, that means that across the board, our system is completely fucked up. And the system needs to be completely overhauled. That's not...
I don't know if the system needs to be completely overhauled.
That's not completely overhauled.
But if we go back to the Twinkie factory...
It's
not the problem with the whole factory line.
Pumps out 50% or even 20%, let's just go. If it's 20% of the Twinkies are fucked up, that starts to look like a systemic problem. That looks like it's not just a thing that happens, because machines, like society, like institutions, like everything else, are not ever going to be effective and perfect 100% of the time. And anybody that really desperately wants everything to work perfectly 100% of the time does not live in anything but a fantasy land.
Okay. Let's look at the Catholic Church.
Bring it.
I don't think it's as big a problem as it was, thankfully, but the pedophilia that was happening in the Catholic Church, was that a systemic problem?
I would have to look at the numbers.
Okay.
Because the thing about it is,
yes,
it's going to happen.
Obvious systemic
but if
problem.
You have nine, let's
but,
just put it out
but wait
here, 900,000 priests.
This isn't about the numbers, though.
If you have 900,000 priests and less than 1% of them are fucking little boys, I would say that the issue is not systemic. Again, I would say it is user error, and the ones that are user error are the ones who move them from one parish to the next.
That's part of the system.
But no, it's not part
of the
system.
Up the ladder, up the chain, you've got priests and bishops and all the other...
But that castigates, and perjures...
Working together as a system to protect...
850,000 priests that are not doing that. It destroyed... It is saying, because there is a flaw in the system, that the entire system is flawed, which is not an appropriate... Again,
but it ladders up, and it's not just
an example of a system that is absolutely flawed that needs to be completely overhauled, and then I'll understand the use of systemic. But so far, everybody, and you included, that want to give me an example, this is systemic, says, oh, it's not 100% fail safe, and there's nothing in life, in the world, on the planet, in the ethos, in the Bible, that is 100% fail safe. So my question is, what percentage of problems created indicate that it is genuinely systemic, which means, by definition, it is a problem with the entire system, soup to nuts, from the beginning of the system to the end, there is a problem. Name one example of something, any system, but that requires a complete overhaul rather than a tweak. Because honestly, Twinkies?
I mean, I'm not
saying... All you need is a mechanic to go in there and say, oh, I found out why the cream thing keeps doing it. Let me tweak it. It's not always going to be perfect, because then at some point they're going to burn the thing and they're going to paint it a little browner than it needs to be. But that's just life.
I'm not saying that systems, when there's a systemic problem, that the whole system needs to be overhauled. You have to look at what's causing the problem and solve for that.
Well, then don't call it a systemic problem.
But it is.
Call it a problem within the system, which is a different thing entirely.
Okay, so this is just about semantics then.
No, David, I understand, but in the alt-right and the woke world, words fucking matter.
Yes, you're right.
How you say things make a difference.
There is
a problem in the system, and it is a systemic means a system-wide problem. That's the whole term. Systemic means the whole system needs overhauling. That's what systemic means. It's not localized. Again, going back to the definition of systemic, the first definition you get is about disease.
Okay, fair. All right, so
Is it systemic or localized? If it's localized, there is something you have to approach from a different perspective. But you cannot perjure the entire system and say it's totally fucked. You say that local, those cops in that situation, that is a localized disease. It needs to be approached as, let me go even further, okay? So I get colon cancer.
Okay.
No, back up. No, take it back. I get, because you've had it, you had a little bit of skin cancer.
Yep.
I get a melanoma on my ass, where the pimple was. Uh-huh. I get a melanoma on my ass, because apparently I go out in the sun naked all the time. But I get a melanoma. And I go to a doctor and I say, I've got a melanoma and I need it taken care of.
It's a melanoma.
Or whatever. But I don't fucking know what it is. Whatever.
Go on.
You know. And he says, oh, those are cancer cells.
Yeah.
And instead of investigating where the cancer cells came from or how many more cancer cells I've got in my body, he just says, we're going full on chemo.
Right.
That is bullshit.
Yes.
Systemic is it's like the whole fucking thing's a problem and not these localized melanoma of shitty asshole police. I just don't see it.
Yes. And that is a problem with cancer treatment is that, and we're getting better at it now, at like localizing the treatment and understanding the individual's body and their environment and all this other shit rather than just like carpet bombing them with chemo.
Exactly.
We know that that's not working.
Yeah.
Because that just makes you sicker, and your melanoma might go away, but then your whole fucking body goes away.
Yeah, we got a melanoma. Yeah. Let's defund the police. It's fucking
right.
Nuts.
Defund the police is fucking stupid.
Well, I know.
That's always been stupid.
But when you say systemic, what else you got?
Right.
What other solutions do you have?
Systemic is the wrong use.
That's all I'm saying.
But a problem within their system
needs
to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are problems within policing systems.
I think there are problems within any system.
Of course there are. But I also, I'm harder on the police because fuck the Catholic Church, because I think that they need to be better. Like, they have to be as close to perfect because we give them fucking lethal, a license to kill.
Okay, so, you know, all right, let me back up. Now let me tell you
Just let me tell you this real quick.
I want to give you an example of an actual systemic problem.
Well, hang on a second. Because of the things that we have to hold people accountable for things based on what they can be held accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Harry is 6, Jacob is 2. Jacob has started, like, picking on bullying is, you know, he's not picking on bullying, but it happens.
Yeah.
Jacob will walk up to Harry and just fucking hit him.
He learned it from you.
Yeah, because he sees me just walking up and hitting
just
Harry.
Randomly, sometimes when I come in a house, I walk in, you say, hey, and then you just walk up and slug me, because you know your winning arms are going to hurt me, but it's fun to do.
So Jacob started doing this, and I have to tell Jacob, like, don't hit, gentle touch, this, you know, but like, I can't. Now, if Harry walked up to Jacob and just fucking slugged him,
I would handle
that a whole lot differently.
Oh, no, that's funny.
Because Harry knows better now, because Harry's 6. Jacob, this is when he learns.
Yeah.
You don't just walk up to somebody and hit them. Like, this is what kids do at that age.
Yeah.
I hold each boy accountable differently based on what they understand and what they can be held accountable for.
And that's localized. It's not systemic.
Right. But the police,
I'm going to give you an example. Hold on. I'm going to give you an example of what I, you know, because I asked the question. Of course, I had an answer in my head. Let me give you an example of what I think is a systemic problem.
But again, I've acquiesced.
I know you have. But I will not stop using the word systemic, it's a problem within the system. It doesn't mean that there isn't such thing as a systemic problem.
Yeah.
Because there are things that are systemic problems. Here is my example of a systemic problem in a specific institutional model.
Okay.
Where I think systemically the entire thing really does need to be overhauled. Commercial pharmaceutical.
Okay, go on.
Because if you look at the just the sheer number of drugs that are produced for very little, but are costing people that are dying massive amounts of money. If you look...
Well, they're not producing very little. It's a...
Oh, no.
A lot of money goes into R&D.
No, insulin has been around forever.
Okay,
And guess what? It doesn't cost a whole lot to make at this point.
I'm not arguing that...
New drug prices are way overblown. Drugs that make you shit your pants and have suicidal thoughts, those cost a lot, you know, because they do that all the fucking time. But the pharmaceutical industry has... captured, you look at the opioid crisis and fentanyl and Pfizer, and you look at how that happened. Well, they have so much money, they can basically bribe doctors to prescribe their medication that costs too much. And then they can charge whatever they want for life-saving medication because they can. And
this
they
the whole
do.
Purdue thing. Yeah.
And what I'm going to say is, I think that is an example of a systemic problem, because it is not just localized. It's not just one pharmaceutical company. It's not just a Walgreens having an issue where they're overcharging for shit and creating all this fucking mayhem. Yeah. It is the entire system from soup to nuts, how it works, how it functions systemically. It is fucked. So if we're to talk about something that is systemic,
okay, well, to that point, systemic. Like I was saying before, like
that's not localized. That's the whole thing. That's
it's not
thing.
Just the LA cops or the New York cops or the Chicago cops. It's police departments
and again,
that have these same problems.
And I will go back and say, it's not just the LA cops. It is 17 cops in LA. It's not the LA cops. It is localized. It is not the New York cops or the Chicago cops. It is 30 of the Chicago police.
What was it? This is before I was living in this city. This is maybe 80s, 90s when the Chicago Police Department, like there was that group of cops that were torturing witnesses and shit. Like they had that warehouse.
John Birch. Yeah. He went to prison.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
That felt kind of systemic. Like when you look at it, like there was this.
It was no. I don't think it was systemic. I think it was they hired a fucking racist piece of shit and didn't realize at the time maybe he was a racist piece of shit. He went ahead and hired a bunch of other racist piece of shits, and then they got racist fucking prosecutors. Well, that was the very localized Chicago system, and instead of saying, "Oh, John Birch exists in Chicago and he's a torturous piece of shit racist motherfucker, look at what he's done, it's all policing that needs to be fixed." No, what they said was, "Oh, fuck, that guy's a monster, let's prosecute those motherfuckers," and they took care of them and they got rid of them. That is getting rid of the melanoma without chemoing the entire fucking system. It's not systemic.
Okay.
It is localized.
I will... Going forward,
thank you.
I will do my best to know, and I'll slip up because I'm imperfect.
It's what we
it's
do.
A problem with my system.
Exactly. You're gonna have some Twinkies that don't have cream in them.
Yeah.
I've seen you shoot your load.
Yeah,
no, I really haven't.
I've never seen you shoot your load. I was searching for a dick joke there, and I was
I don't do it.
Let's move past it.
Yeah,
and
I got
came
the dick joke.
I got that.
It was a bad one, but it's gross.
No,
but
it's better than I had.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's cream, so we just it's natural, like Suave shampoo.
But I. Okay, so what if the Twinkie factory, instead of they were just cream-free Twinkies, they were like, oh shit, the Suave shampoo got in there. So now we have Twinkie shampoo Twinkies.
Well, and what I would argue,
1%, they need to fix that pretty quickly.
Well, they need to
that's
fix
way
it,
more serious
but I would also say that's
inside.
Not a flaw in the system. That's an individual guy that said, fuck you, I'm going to fuck with this shit. It's Tylenol back in the fucking 80s when some asshole decided
the
to tamper with them and syringe that shit. It wasn't the whole fucking system that was making them. It was one motherfucker that said, I'm going to fuck with people and kill people. That, it's different. So, like, is Derek Chauvin, like, the avatar of what policing is? No, he's an outlier. That guy's an outlier. He is the exception to the rule. That is the whole point of having rules and exceptions, is if you have, bottom line is, if 51% of cops are Derek Chauvin, then that's the rule, not the exception. Less than 1% are like Derek Chauvin. It's a minor exception that must be localized and taken care of, but does not indict the entire system.
No, but you also have to look at beyond just Derek Chauvin. You have to look at, were their captains or their superiors or whatever, like, were people moving them around? Like what the Catholic Church
is
doing.
And
that
they do.
Becomes,
and again, that
not
is,
just a localized thing,
but that is not
larger
all of that. Again, it's a bureaucracy.
Their system.
It's a bureaucracy. It's
not
like teachers.
It's not
it's just like teachers in the Chicago public school system. There are teachers that I used to work with that they were fucking burnt. They were terrible teachers. They were done. They were literally waiting for retirement. And so they did not give a shit, and they were bad teachers. And the system designed to protect teachers that aged out but still were viable, they benefited from that rule.
Yeah.
The union is a very good thing. Chicago Teachers Union is a rough fucking landscape, but there are rules in place to protect teachers. And there's always going to be teachers who are going to take advantage of that rule
and
benefit from it. we can go, oh, it's the whole fucking system that's a problem, or maybe it's just that fucking asshole.
Did you find a way to
take that exception and fucking excise it off of your ass?
Okay, that's the thing. And I think that where we get into our argument, I think what it comes down to is you're like, you've got the numbers. It's 1%, 1%, who gives a shit? It's
just 1% of the Twinkies. I don't say who gives a shit.
Okay, but that's what it sounds like to me.
I'm not saying who gives a shit.
It's just 1%, but you've got to fix it.
Yeah.
All right.
And they do fix it in a localized way.
You win.
I will not call it systemic,
but even if it's fucking 0.5%, fix that shit. I want cream in my Twinkie.
And it should be, if it's a problem in Nebraska, they got their gas station, they do have a police force. And in Nebraska, there's way more people in their police force than work at the gas station. But if in Nebraska, there is a problem...
There's more people that work at the police force that live in Nebraska.
I know.
They're all cops.
Around. Yeah,
cops and
firemen. It's like Copland. Yeah. But, you know, if a Nebraska cop pulls over a black or Hispanic man and...
Wasn't Nebraska a sundown town?
I don't know. fucking maybe. But, you know, and they, and there's massive abuse, and there's, you know, it doesn't mean that all of Nebraska is the problem. It means they have to, and it doesn't mean, the fact that it happened in Nebraska doesn't mean that the LA police have to address that.
Right.
It doesn't mean the Chicago police or the Baltimore police or the Dallas police have to address that problem, because that's a problem that is localized.
Yeah.
And they have to deal with it. And that's what I think needs to happen is... It is, I guess what I would say, and I never thought I'd say this, but I just kind of got, is this is the equivalent of a states' rights argument I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a giant fix that the federal government can fix.
Right.
This is something, it has to be individual municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be individual sheriffs and commissioners and oversight committees. That's what this is. It's not a systemic problem. It is a bunch, and not even a bunch, but we'll say, given the gravity of what the police have, we'll say that any amount is wrong. Any amount of that kind of abuse is completely out of bounds, but we're not going to solve those problems retooling the entire Twinkie machine. We're just going to have to fix the part that shoots the cream in those individual cases, because that's how you fix society. If you look at a perfect example, systemic racism, if you look at where we were 60 years ago and where we are now, it was not done. I mean, they had the 1964 Civil Rights Act, but it was not accomplished in one big sweeping thing.
No.
It was smaller, incremental. That's how change works. It's incremental. We are never going to solve for assholes who want to be cops.
Right.
We're never going to solve for it. So all we can do is cut out the melanoma and not chemo the fucking body.
And now, WorSack of the News.
In Mother Nature is doing the work Dave Matthews started. Chicago needs a shower. Why the city smells so bad right now?
You know, yes. I don't know why it smells so bad, but perhaps, it's sort of what it reminds me of. This, I was reading about this. It's sort of like Paris, where the Seine is so, because the way their sewage works, and when the shit just goes in the river, and they couldn't even have Olympic swimmers in the river because it's so filled with E. coli.
They had to do some major engineering.
You know, I think there's probably a bit of that going on here in Chicago.
That's exactly what it is.
You know, because Chicago is, Paris and Chicago are sister cities.
Yeah.
We have the same grid.
Yeah.
We're built the same way. And so it makes perfect sense to me that our sewage system is making Chicago smell like a giant cesspool.
That's what it is that there has not been enough rain.
Yeah.
So the sewers are not getting flushed out.
Uh-huh.
So all that's in the sewers right now
is poop.
Is piss and shit.
Yeah, poop. That's it.
We need some rain. All right. In the 80s are truly dead.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Don't tell me that's true.
Tupperware, no longer a kitchen staple, files for bankruptcy.
You know what makes me sad about that? Because I read that and I thought, that's crazy. And then I realized, oh, what makes sense to me is that nobody saves food anymore.
I save food.
Well, I do too. But you know, if you look at sort of consumer trends. Mm-hmm. We are way more the fast meal, mm-hmm. the complete meal that we just bought online that was sent to my house.
Yep.
The I'm going to eat all of the food instead of save some.
Yep.
You know, it's because one of the things I when I read that, I was like, it just kind of made me curious. I said, I wonder if there's like metrics on doggy bags. Like when you go to mm-hmm. a restaurant and mm-hmm. you eat, how many, you know, how many doggy bags are taken? And overwhelmingly, what this is a very imperfect number, but overwhelmingly that number has gone down. People are not, they're eating everything or they're just leaving it there. And so the idea of being frugal with your food is less prevalent. So it doesn't surprise me that Tupperware, and then quite frankly, come on. Tupperware parties are a thing of the past.
Did your mom ever have those? Like, do you remember those as a kid?
She went to them. I don't think she ever had one. I think we should have a Literate Ape Tupperware party.
What a fucking thing.
Let's do that.
I remember that.
Let's get a bunch of white liberal women to sit in a room and bullshit about whatever their political beliefs are, with the whole point is that we're going to sell them Tupperware sets. I mean, they're going out of business, so I imagine it's pretty cheap. We could make some good money on this.
I mean, yeah, you know, I could use the job.
Sure.
This is a quote, heinous incel nonsense is in fact heinous incel nonsense. Elon Musk's daughter slams his offer to give Taylor Swift a baby.
The thing about it is Elon Musk, and it's, you know, as we have had a conversation many, many times, I even wrote a book about it. My third ex-wife, I think, is, while not probably diagnosed in that way, there's no question in my mind she's a sociopath. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me that Elon Musk, since the first time he was on the scene, was obviously a sociopath. I mean, it was obvious, his whole worldview, the way he approaches things. This guy has no fundamental ethical compass when it comes to human interaction. Doesn't understand why people say the things they do, so he just says things to see what... He doesn't understand how humans think. He doesn't have that fundamental thing.
Alien.
Yeah, he doesn't... I mean, he's not an alien. He's a human being, but he's a broken part. He's an exception. He's a broken part of it. So nothing that comes out
of
his fucking mouth.
Has he been diagnosed, like, officially, like, autistic or anything like that?
I don't fucking care. He probably went online and took a test and self-diagnosed, like some other people I know.
And you meet the most interesting people playing pickleball.
No, you don't. No! No, you don't! All right, go ahead.
Alleged Trump gunman was my Hawaii pickleball partner.
Oh, Jesus, that's the best. Okay, all right, yes, that is. Well, I read a little bit about this guy, and I'll be honest with you, and, you know, I don't want to get into the deep weeds of conspiracy theories. I don't.
No, the shooter's in the deep weeds.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing. The last time there were two failed assassination attempts on a presidential figure, he was the president, and it was Gerald Ford.
Yeah.
I'm not saying. I think the first assassination attempt was really an assassination attempt because he did get shot in the air. He was actually shot. But if I were a conspiratorially minded person, what I would say is I think there is a case to be made that he got shot in the air. He had his bloody defiant thing, and it was in the news and interesting to America until Kamala Harris announced her candidacy. And he didn't get the gravity of being shot. He didn't get it.
Think he was a hired gun?
I think they found this fucking nutcase who used to be a big Trumper and then not anymore. And they said, let's go put... Because it was not announced that Trump was playing golf. No one knew he was playing golf. It was not a part of his entourage. No one knew he was playing golf except for the Secret Service. So how the fuck does this guy know he's playing golf? Well, and he wasn't anywhere near him.
Yeah.
He was in a fucking bush, like, what, a mile away? I don't even know how far he was. But he was in a bush somewhere and didn't even shoot at him. So my thinking, if I were a conspiratorial or minded person, I would say I have a feeling, in order to try to reignite that narrative of I am defiant against the people trying to kill me, they fucking got a crazy fucking asshole
So is he just a patsy? Is he like Oswald?
Well, I think he's like Oswald if nobody actually shot the president.
Well, you could argue that Oswald didn't pull the trigger.
I would argue that.
In bad judgment is not a disqualifier to be a federal judge. Judge Aileen Cannon failed to disclose a right-wing junket.
Yeah. No, it's like, The thing is, and if you look
judges
at...
Judges, again, like cops. Yeah. It's held to a higher standard.
And so, yes, but as not a systemic thing, that is a Donald Trump thing. Because if you look at, it was one of the things I thought was funny. It was like, you know, they said, oh, he's appointing all, this is before the Supreme Court, it's like appointing all these federal judges. If you look at the list of federal judges, and it's a lot of federal judges.
It's a big part of the president's job.
It's a huge thing.
It's the busy work the president
does. And to me, my argument is, I don't think Trump did anything other than January 6th, which I think was egregious, but he failed, so it doesn't really count. I mean, it's definitely punishable by law, but he did not. He tried a coup.
Yeah.
Failed coup, still failed coup, right? Yeah. The system worked.
Would you say that it was a systemic
thing? No, I would not say it's a systemic thing. I would think it's one individual that took advantage of a
rule. No, that the system working was systemically correct.
Fair. But what I would say is one of the things, the worst thing he did to our country was, if you look at that fucking long-ass list of federal judges that he put into district courts and federal courts, I don't even know the number, but so fucking many of them are so completely and overwhelmingly unqualified to be judges, it's like Lauren Boebert being a congressperson. Yeah. It makes no fucking sense. So it does not surprise me that this happens.
Lauren Boebert should be working in an Asian massage parlor.
No shit, and I'd get a massage from her.
In Mo Baby, Mo... Hey, let me start over on that one. In Mo Baby Oil, Mo Problems... Sean Diddy Combs faces life in prison after freak-off parties.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Again.
Jesus, the amount of shit that they found in this guy's place.
I am absolutely, overwhelmingly unsurprised.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
I am not surprised.
It's just like, it's that, like, I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked by just like, holy shit, like, all that fucking baby oil.
It's a lot of baby oil, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The guy was a big, again.
Yeah.
Play is gonna play.
Yeah.
And now an extraneous quote of the week to ponder as you consider life's most pressing choices.
My quote of the week is an old quote, but I like it. And because of things going on in my days, job search, meeting someone that I like, all this kind of stuff, is Mark Twain.
Who?
Samuel Clemens.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. Good old Sammy Clem.
Yeah. And it's like I said, this is an old one, but it just feels appropriate.
An old one from Sammy Clem?
Yeah.
Does he have any new ones?
Maybe. I don't know. From the grave? Possibly. Age.
Well, the rumors of his death have been greatly exaggerated.
Exactly. Age is... That was Will Rogers.
What?
Will Rogers was... Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
No, that was Twain.
Was that Twain?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever he said. Whatever that is. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. Anyway, this is the quote.
Right?
Age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter. Now, this is not the same as... You're only the age you feel, or that kind of fucking bullshit. No, age actually exists.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind, it doesn't matter. And you got to approach life that way. You know you're going to die. I know I'm going to die, but let's just focus. Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, I agree with that. There are times when I'm like, I feel embarrassed to be 45. And then I catch myself, I'm like, what? Shut the fuck up. That is the dumbest thought you have ever had.
And you weren't even married to Dana.
Right. Yeah. Because it's like, I'm 45. That just means that I haven't...
You look good. You can run. You're viable.
Like, right.
You can fuck like a beast. I mean, what's the big issue?
Right. It does. It's such... And it drives me nuts when people are like, I'm celebrating my 29th birthday for the third year. No, you're not.
No.
You're fucking 32.
Yeah, it's calm down. It's like it's
just be fucking the age you are.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's one of the things
that I'm not telling you my age. It's rude to ask a woman's age. Yeah. Why?
It's who gives a fuck?
I'm trying not to go to jail. I'm looking at my life
right now. I'm looking at where I'm at right now. And again, maybe it is the developments of certain things going on in my life right now. But I'm finding, you know, you and I talked about this a long time ago, but it was when, you know, after all of the nonsense in Vegas, I couldn't find my sense of optimism about my own life.
Yeah.
I could not find any way forward past, I kind of want to die, but I don't want to kill myself. I kind of couldn't get past that.
Yeah.
And what I'm finding now is this quote,
mm-hmm.
is that shit, you know, yeah, I'm 58. I fucking rock for 58.
Yeah.
I fucking look good. I'm in shape. I can fucking walk 45 miles in 3 days doing Blues Fest. I mean,
yeah.
Rocking on.
I told you how my dad asked, talking, I don't know, and you came up in conversation. I don't know why he asked us, but he's like, you know, how old is Don? And I said, 58. He's like, 58? He was blown away.
Yeah.
That you could possibly be
and
that
so,
age.
And so the thing is the age. Yeah, does age matter? It does matter, and in ways like okay, in 7 years, I'll be eligible for Social Security.
Right, like can you buy a beer? Can you buy cigarettes? Can you
age
vote?
Age matters,
yeah.
But it only matters if you care.
Yeah,
if it you know it's like if okay, there you go. So yeah, that was the quote.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
There are six things you should do this week.
All right, my first thing to do this week is a watch. It is on FX. You can watch it through Hulu. It is Shogun, which kicked ass at the Emmys.
Apparently they got a lot of Emmys.
I heard of the show and I was like, eh. But because it kicked ass, I was like, I should give this a go.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really good. I've watched one episode so far. It's really good. You got to pay attention, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a put it on fun show.
No, it's from the Japanese perspective.
Yeah.
The same Richard Chamberlain shit from back in my youth.
It's shot beautifully. I think it's fucking one of the Emmys. It's great. There's a moment in the first episode where it's violent. And I'm fine with gratuitous violence. Like that shit doesn't bother me. But there was a moment when I was like, I said out loud, is this too much for me?
Wow.
Because it was just so like, and this is how good it is. You're just like, oh, fuck. That's like human suffering pain. Ah, shit. This is fucked up what they're doing right now. And it's, yeah, is this, because it's intense television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and like a lot of times when I watch TV, I don't want intensification.
Yeah, yeah, no.
You know, it's the end of the day, like,
turn your brain off.
Smoke a little weed and just, turn my brain off and get ready for bed.
Yeah.
Whew!
And speaking of television that you don't have to think too hard about, and I've only seen one episode because they've only released one episode. Yes, it's that time again. Survivor! Season 47!
How the fuck do they divide their seasons? Seasons used to be, like, annual.
They do two seasons a year.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why they've been.
So that's what 20.
They've been on the air 24 years. 24 years, and this is.
Like how I struggled with that math.
Yeah, I can see that.
That was really hard. I need a nap.
Yeah, boy. Yes,
let's hurry this up because I need a nap.
Yeah, Survivor 47. Got to watch it. It's Paramount Plus. My favorite.
Gotta watch it.
No, you got to fucking watch
it. I've never watched an episode of Survivor, and I.
Dude, it's,
now I never will.
It's all on Netflix. You got to watch it. It's the best thing you'll ever see. Go.
Okay. All right. This is a listen. I think I'm gonna beat you to it here.
Okay.
Honestly, with Barry Weiss, the episode is called Is the American Dream Alive and Well? A Live Debate.
Yep. It's a very good...
It's a very good episode. And I'm on one side. I was not swayed by the other side. Good arguments.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nice to hear those debates.
Yeah.
I love that. While I did not pick...
You did not pick that.
I did not. Okay. I did pick a Barry Weiss adjacent.
Okay.
This is a read. It is in her thing, The Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
It is The Free Press. It's called The Lost Art of Waiting. The sub-lead is Americans are more impatient than ever, and it's affecting everything from our wastelands to our relationships, by Christine Rosen. It's a really good read, and going back to the whole concept of the Tupperware, it kind of feels that way. It's like, yeah, we have become, because of the immediate gratification that we get from so many other things, we don't have patience just to chill out and wait for things. It's a really, it's a seriously good piece to read, so I recommend it.
I find myself forcing myself to wait with things, or it's more like, you know, getting off the phone. Like yesterday, I had a writer's thing that I went to, and then I had some downtime before I met my mom for a networking event, and then we went and saw the Royco show. So I stopped at a bar, had a drink, burned some time.
Yeah.
And instead of sitting there on my phone reading news, which is productive.
Which is a thing, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to sit in the bar.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in the bar.
Yeah, just be there.
And it was just like...
I do that in the park once in a while this summer. Once in a while, I will just go out and I will sit on a bench and I won't watch the phone. I won't look at my watch.
Just let your mind wander. Think about Tupperware parties.
It's really nice. And you can watch people. It's nice. Yeah. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
All right, so my last thing. I just mentioned it. This is Chicago specific. Sorry for our listeners in Nebraska. But if you come to Chicago, I don't know how you can get out of Nebraska. Do they even have roads in Nebraska?
I think there's
no airports, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's some dirt roads out there.
But come to Chicago and see, at the Chopin Theater, Royco, the toughest man in Chicago. Saw this last night with my mom. I was the youngest person there.
No question.
I think my mom was 25 when I was born, so she was probably the youngest person by 10 years then.
Wow, okay.
You know, or like, it was...
Yeah.
A lot of white hair.
Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
What a fun... I mean, it's just like nerdy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
man, it was the performance was fantastic.
Yeah. This guy's been researching this for a really long time.
Yeah.
It took a long time. He opened in L.A. first, right?
Yeah, he was like workshopping it there because he's an L.A. based. He's born and raised in Chicago, the suburbs.
Yeah.
He's an artist or a actor out in L.A. But yeah, it was really good. We ran into one of my mom's friends, a woman named Bonnie Rubin, who's a writer. She worked for the Tribune, and she's been a journalist for as long as I've known her. Or whatever, that's her fucking job. I don't know why I'm setting it up that way. I haven't seen Bonnie Rubin in years. So when I saw her, my mom was talking to her, and I didn't recognize her. And she's like, oh my God, David. Mom's like, you remember Bonnie Rubin? I was like, oh my God, Bonnie, how are you? She's like, Bonnie said, you're too young to remember Mike Royco. And I was like,
no.
You're too old to remember anything.
Well, there you go. Yes, and my third thing is, speaking of, again, Chicago-centric. Sorry, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Sorry, this episode, you can just go fuck yourself. That's just it.
Fuck yourself, Nebraska.
Yeah, you know.
There's the show's title this week.
Yeah. Nebraska, go fuck yourself. That's exactly what I'm going to call it. But if you are listening to this podcast on the drop date, Monday, September 23rd, and you are in Chicago tonight at 6:30 p.m., going to get there about 6, we have the reboot. It's the remount. It's the re of the Bughouse debates. One of the reasons that I wanted to talk about the systemic thing, because that was sort of like a preview of the kind of conversations you get at Bughouse. Here's a pro, here's a con, let's have this conversation. It's fun. Somebody wins. We have added to the mix that after the three rounds go, and we have the three winners. The three winners will get a topic of debate from the audience, and those three will have to improvise a 3-minute debate topic. And whoever wins that round wins the prize of the trophy. Yeah, that's the deal.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for this.
It's $5. It's at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery. If you see us before the show, we've got tokens, so you can get a free beer. Yeah, come to Bughouse, man. We're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the show, man.
Nebraska, go fuck yourself.
You can listen to the Literate ApeCast on literateape.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you go to get that delicious podcast experience. If you enjoy the dulcet sounds of two white guys babbling about whatever comes into their stunted brains, leave us a review anywhere that, reviews are left. and share it with someone whom which you have a dubious relationship.
For information about Literate Ape, go to literateape.com, of course, and check out the rest of our podcasts and our years of scribbling. Music on the ApeCast is courtesy of Mike Finopel and Locomotive. You can find them all over Chicago and online at locomotiveband.com.
The fuck?